Hello.
Polly!
May I,
Oh, sit down, sit down. Well.
Oh, yes, I return.
Yes, like a...
Bad penny?
No, wanderer, I was going to say.
Now that's true.
How are you?
Quite well.
And San Francisco?
What about it?
Well, how was it?
American?
Was it?
Very.
But I mean, the job you went for, the new life. How was that?
Well...
Ah, Gillian.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Gillian. May I introduce you to an old friend of mine? Polly, this is Gillian.
How do you do, Mum?
Hello.
Gillian's been looking after me in your absence, Polly.
Has she?
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, no, you have. You have, Gillian.
I've only done my best, I'm sure, which is all you can do, as my mother used to say.
And how is your old mother?
Well, she's passed away, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gillian, my friend has just returned from America.
There's a place I wouldn't like to go.
Oh, you wouldn't?
Full of Americans.
Gillian,
fat hippos, aren't they, Mom? The other day
I wonder whether we could order, Gillian. My usual?
What would that be, sir?
A cup of tea.
Oh, yes. And for you, Polly?
I'll have the same as my friend, please. Gillian...
Be right back.
Well, I'm glad someone was looking after you in my absence.
So?
Yes?
Back in your old familiar surroundings?
Yes.
Amongst the teak veneer and the faded mirrors.
It's odd.
What is?
You travel 5,000 miles to find that nothing changes.
And is that a source of comfort?
I don't know.
I said no.
It's me.
I don't give a damn.
Don't you like red roses?
No.
Oh, dear. Then will I give them to that dancer next door? What's her name?
You'll give them here or feel my hand.
Have you forgiven me?
Do I still get the flowers?
Can I deny you?
Can I deny you?
You can, but you won't.
And have you seen the last of that awful old turret Bridges?
To whom do you refer? My mind's a blank.
Oh, you dreadful man.
I know not the woman.
Are you joking?
I am never more serious than when I'm on my knees. You should know that.
Ah.
Molly. Molly. Molly.
Two teas.
Gillian, could we have some cakes?
French gâteau, cheesecake, warm sponge, spotted dick.
Polly?
I'll have a biscuit, please.
Shortcake, ginger knob, buttercrisp and lang de chat, whatever that is.
Just a piece of shortcake.
And for you, sir?
My usual.
Oh, dear me.
By which, of course, I mean a custard doughnut. Gillian.
Coming up.
So, tell me.
What?
Where have you been?
I told you, sir.
No, no, no. I mean previously to here, to coming home. Where were you?
Why do you assume I went anywhere en route?
You don't look like someone who's come a long way.
Oh.
Perhaps I'm wrong, Polly.
No, no, you're not wrong.
So tell me, where were you?
Dublin.
Oh, God, Percy.
I thought you'd be here.
Murray! 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 It's my brother, Murray.
Oh.
Murray, meet Mullay. I mean...
Oh, I've heard all about you. Don't I know you?
We've got to go.
Have we?
It's about father.
Oh, my father! Our father, Murray, who art nearly in heaven. How is he?
You know how he is.
Well, I know him irascible, vicious and small-minded. Is that what you mean, Murray?
He's ill.
Oh, I see. You mean more ill than normal.
do you?
He may be dying.
Oh, hadn't you better go, Percy?
Why?
Well, your father.
Oh, yeah, my father.
Perhaps you're too busy.
That's what I offer you.
What do you mean?
The chance to be self-righteous. Goody two-shoes, my little brother.
Are you coming or not?
I will come, yes. If someone could explain to me why.
Because he loves you. That's why.
Ah, Percy.
Give me a hand, Murray.
Where the girls are so pretty, is that it?
Do you know, I didn't notice.
Now then, tell me. Dublin.
Oh, I was visiting my Aunt Brodie.
Aunt Brodie, yes.
Yes.
How is she?
Oh, as well as can be expected.
Good.
In the circumstances.
Of course. What circumstances?
Oh, just, you know, life.
Ah, yes.
And old age.
I see. And so you dropped off at Aunt Brodie's on the way back from San Francisco.
Yes. Well, Dublin is east of San Francisco,
yes,
and west of here.
And while you were there?
I visited Aunt
Brodie. Yes, yes, but in the afternoons, those long afternoons, shall we say, between Aunt Brodie's soup and her sandwiches at 4 or 5, what did you do with yourself?
I read the newspapers.
Of course. As a fellow professional, you naturally wanted to keep in touch with what the Irish hacks were serving up to their public.
Well, yes.
And did anything catch your eye, Polly, during those afternoons? Any crime, shall we say? Any act of unlooked-for violence perpetrated, perhaps, by one Irishman upon another, and for which the Irish police failed to find any answer, and which you now wish to discuss with me? Well, Polly?
Look, it's not... Oh, here's Gillian.
Father.
Huh?
Percival is here.
How are you?
Do you care?
I came, didn't I?
Oh, you came. You came to check the will, eh?
He came to see you, Father.
He knows what he came for. Is he sober?
Yes.
Oh, that makes a change. Well, I'm dying, boy. I thank God I have one son I could count on.
Why did you send for me, then?
So you would know. Mr. Weatherhead here...
Mr. Brooks.
...will sketch in the details of my last will and testament, which will go into his safe and only re-emerge when I am underground.
Father.
Mr. Weatherhead.
Mr. Brooks, sir.
You will inform my sons of my intentions.
Your father's estate, comprising the bacon curing business trading under the name Brooks and Sons, currently valued at £500,000, will go to Mr. Murray Brooks.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Percival...
Something troubling you, son?
It is your father's intention to give you an annual sum of £300.
What?
Father, please.
Don't be soft with him. Does he help in the business? Has he ever got out of bed, God knows what bed, or whose bed, to work with us? He has not.
Please, Father, please.
Hey, Percival, what do you think now?
Die in pain.
Oh, yes.
Die in pain. Alone.
No.
There we have it. There's the boy. There's your brother, Murray.
Father.
Mr. Weatherhead. Lock it away.
The Brooks family.
Ah.
You heard of the case?
Vaguely.
It was quite interesting.
Polly, in a changing world, how nice to know that some things remain the same, no?
What do you mean?
Your reluctance to get to the point.
Look, my point is...
Don't rush you.
Yes. What's your cake like?
Yes, that's what it is.
What?
Cake-like. Go on.
The Brooks family.
Yes.
Old Brooks, the father, and two sons, Murray and Percival. The father makes a will entirely favouring Murray. You know, it's a terrible insult. Mr. Brooks is extremely rich.
In what way has Percival offended?
Well, you shouldn't assume there was any provocation.
Hmm?
Perhaps Percival had been
somewhat neglectful of his duties, yes, but to be cut out, to be virtually cut out of his inheritance, I mean...
Yes.
What?
And your contact with the case?
Oh, it was in the papers, I told you.
While Aunt Brodie was napping.
Can I go on?
Please.
What I'm saying, were you to search high and low?
Will we go home?
No, will you listen?
Your father
is... Let me finish, will you? You would never find...
I know.
Will you let me finish? You would never find a meaner-hearted old bastard than my father. There.
Right.
Can you imagine what that means?
Yes. Now, come on.
You know what I hope?
That he dies.
No, that he lives. That he lies there. That his hatred for me eats his heart away piece by piece until he only hangs to life by that single thread. Hatred for me. Wouldn't that be good?
Come home with me, Eliza.
I'll see him.
No.
I want to see him first. One or two things to say.
Oh, no. Oh, Percy, don't do it.
Didn't you read about it?
Well, something.
It was the talk of Dublin.
While you were there?
Yes.
Was Aunt Brodie interested?
What?
In the Brooks case.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, right.
So, a will had been drafted, signed, and then, soon after, the old man Brooks dies.
And Percival?
Wait. After Brooks's death, another will is discovered.
A different one?
Yes. Substantially different.
Found, do you say?
Yes. Under the old man's pillow.
Ah, I see.
I mean, it's hardly the first case where
No. And who found it?
The manservant. I can't remember his name. Anyway...
O'Neill.
What?
The manservant's name. I seem to remember.
Yes. O'Neill. Anyway, in this will, everything was reversed. The business, the inheritance... Everything. All went to Percival.
That was a surprise, then.
The papers called him a prodigal son.
You felt their judgment was harsh?
I didn't say that.
And in this will, this new will, what did Murray get?
Nothing. Well, next to nothing. Less than Percival got in the first will.
So, he wasn't pleased?
No.
Oh, you can see his point of view.
He said...
Murray, now?
He said immediately that the new will was a forgery.
What did you think?
What did I think? Why should I think anything?
No reason. You were there.
Well, I was reading about it in the papers, that's all.
Of course. And the case is referred to probate court.
That's right. What?
So how did the new will get to be written?
Is it so easy to reconstruct circumstances? I mean, to do so confidently?
No. But you're with me, Polly. So you don't have to worry.
Well, the day before he died, in the late afternoon, old Brooks was overheard.
What do you say to me? What shall I tell me? And tell me this. Why is it always worse than we first believed? Can you tell me? Can you look me in the eye, sir? Oh, God, what a curse is this on!
It was the old manservant, O'Neill, who heard him. He was standing outside his master's door, apparently, about to deliver a glass of whiskey.
Did O'Neill go into the room?
No. What?
The old retainer.
Exactly. Yes. They still exist in Dublin. A servant from Chekhov. He heard his master's voice raised.
In anger, you say?
Incandescent fury.
How long can I endure it? Is my life to be stretched out like a man at a rack? Endless torment. And for what sin am I paying? Get out! Get out, sir!
It was that anger, that burst of violent emotion, that probably killed him. For O'Neill, the servant, it wasn't over yet. His shaking legs had just reached the shelter of his back kitchen when the master's bell beckoned him back again.
Sir. Will I get the doctor, sir?
No.
Sir, Sir, let me get Dr. Murphy.
Too late. I want Weathered.
Sir.
My lawyer, Weathered. Get him.
So the lawyer is summoned to write the new will?
Yes.
And signed?
By Weathered.
And witnessed?
By O'Neill and by Dr. Murphy. Mm.
And it is this will that Murray declares to be a forgery.
Well, that's the problem. Weathered, the lawyer, leaves the house, and on his way back to his office, he is murdered.
Now, Patrick, you must be strong.
I am able to be strong, Mr. Weathered.
That's it. Your master has lived long, and to be honest with you, of late I think he would prefer to have gone sooner. This new will he made out is a document to break your heart.
That's true, Mr. Weathered.
The doctor's with him. Say your prayers, and we can do no more. Goodbye, Patrick.
Will I send for a cab for you, sir?
No, no, the weather is fine. Walk while we can. Is that not a lesson we can draw from a life that is ending?
It is.
So then, goodbye.
A sudden fog had come up from the river. It's not uncommon in summer. At some time, crossing that park, Weathered was attacked and beaten to death.
More tea, Polly. Shall we, Polly?
Yes.
Excuse me. Gillian!
Two more teas, is it?
She can read my mind.
Oh, please.
What?
Well, can I go on?
And a biscuit for my friend.
Coming up.
The accusation of forgery would have been bad enough.
But murder.
Hmm.
Murder on top. Like a cherry on a cake.
Oh, are you hungry?
No, no. I have a question, Polly.
Yes. Mm.
When did you first meet Percival Brooks?
Where were you?
I have a job to do, as well as looking after you.
Well.
You saw your father.
It's time for me to leave.
Why'd you say that?
£300 a year. And I'm tired of the pity in people's faces. There goes the black sheep. Lock up your daughters.
Oh, is it their daughters you're interested in?
No, God, no. People's wish to find a nice young man with an inheritance is more than satisfied in my brother.
Oh, yes. Saint Murray.
Filius Fidelis.
What?
The faithful son.
Oh, you men.
That's what we are.
You're so educated. What do you know? You can trot things out in Latin, but you can hardly wipe your arses.
Oh, Molly, don't give me a lesson today.
Well, let me tell you this. It's too soon to be upping sticks and leaving.
Molly.
What?
You and me.
Now what? Look at me. Are you giving me the brush off?
Did you think we'd go on forever?
Are you tired of me? No. Oh, there's someone else, isn't there? Isn't there?
Get on with your life, Molly.
Oh, that's right.
I won't forget you.
That's right. Let someone else look after you. Does she know you've no money, huh? Poor little rich boy.
We met in a cafe. Isn't that funny?
Very.
It was raining.
I see.
Well, you asked.
You became friends.
Yes.
Good friends.
There has to be a limit to what I disclose to you.
Oh, of course. You met in a cafe. It was raining. You propped your umbrella against his table. A quantity of droplets fell onto his newspaper. And from such beginnings...
I am being frank with you.
This pleasant-looking young man...
He's handsome, actually.
Ah, a bonus. And so your relationship began. And where is he now?
You know where he is.
Yes.
In Dublin jail. He's waiting to be hanged.
You mentioned me, did you?
Yes.
I have an old acquaintance, you said, a bit cracked, a bit eccentric, and yet in his way useful.
Those weren't the words I used.
I'll look him up.
I would have come back to see you anyway. I know it sounds weak, but I would have seen you.
You have the right to come and go. It's not my concern.
It was not a good time for me.
My chief concern in this is the welfare of Aunt Brodie. Now, did your friendship interfere with your care of the old lady?
I knew this.
What?
that you would be difficult.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I mean that you would feel used.
Oh, not at all. Without warning, you depart for America, and without warning, you return. You have a job for me, and when the job is done, no doubt you will depart again. Now tell me, Polly, why on earth should I feel used?
You are good to visit me.
Why?
A fine romance? Is that what we have? We've only just met, and now you're a visitor to a condemned man.
I want to help you.
Polly, you are sweet. But not even an angel can perform miracles.
No.
I mean, nobody can help me.
Will you trust me? I'm going to England.
Your ginger knob, Mom.
Thank you, Gillian. Are you helping me?
Did you ask him about the argument?
No.
He returns to his father's house, drunk.
Well, I don't know if he was drunk.
But what do you mean?
It suits the reprobate image the Dublin press have concocted.
I see, a got-up story. He never drank.
I didn't say that either.
But there is a violent argument at any rate, yes? Overheard by the manservant.
Yes?
Which so maddens Brooks Sr. that he sends for his lawyer and changes his will.
But...
Just let me go on. The prosecution's case is... Percival intercepts the lawyer Weathered on his way back to his office with the new will in his pocket. That Percival kills him. That he steals the will and substitutes another one of his own, a third will, which he puts under Brooks' pillow for O'Neill or somebody else to find.
Yes?
Forging the signatures of Dr. Murphy and O'Neill as witnesses.
What?
Well, wasn't he being somewhat optimistic?
Mr. O'Neill, I have here... the will that was found under Mr. Brooks' pillow shortly after he died.
Yes, sir.
In fact, it was you who found it, was it not?
Yes, sir.
I want you to look at it very carefully. Will you look at the signatures at the bottom of the will? One is Mr. Weathered's name, and the other one... I want you to look at that and tell us, is it your signature?
No, sir.
It says Patrick O'Neill.
It's my name... but it's not my signature.
Polly.
He's innocent.
What
no.
if... No! You've asked my help. You know, don't you, that he may have done it, both the forgery and the murder. Will you allow for that possibility? If you don't, then we're not together in this. Cannot be.
No, please.
Because once I start, I go through to the end, and the end may not be what you want. Well, Polly?
Come what may.
Then let's begin. Let's go back. That violent argument after which Brooks tells O'Neill to send for the lawyer. The lawyer before the doctor. You see, Polly?
Mr. Weathered, sir. He'd be glad you came.
How is he?
Not good, sir.
You've sent for the doctor.
He said he wanted to see you.
You must get the doctor. O'Neill.
I do what I'm told.
Mr. Weathered. Oh,
good morning, Murray. I have been beckoned.
Is my father unwell?
He is, sir. I'll go for the doctor.
A whiskey for me, Patrick.
And Weathered finds what? Brooks is a dying man. His final attack has been brought on by a violent argument. And in extremis, Brooks asks to see his lawyer. He would rather risk his life than not do the one thing he wishes, to change his will. Now let's go down this road, then.
There's no...
Polly, it is the road we must take. The one Percival's prosecutor took. The enraged patriarch learns of some new peccadillo. Worse, something worse. He already knows about his son's drinking and his fondness for music hall singers.
Wait!
I'll go on. And then, just then, Brooks learns something else. What could that be?
This is the wildest speculation.
Is it? Is it? Yes. But what choice have we? We follow every road until it comes to a logical end. Now let us say then that Percival has sired an illegitimate child.
No.
And that this proves to be the final straw.
No, no, I will not accept.
But an old man, Polly, why not? It could have killed him.
I will not have this. You know nothing about Percival.
I don't?
I don't see where this is leading. That's all I'm saying.
Polly, you came to me.
Yes, and I am regretting it.
But you came.
Because I want an innocent man released.
No, because you want me to inquire into a man you feel you are in love with.
Well, I should have known not to put a question like this before a man with no feeling.
Thank you, Polly. Well, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry,
Whatever your reason for coming to me, the truth is what you need. And I promise you, Polly, that is what I shall find. Or you may return to Dublin now to see Percival for the last time. Is that emotional enough for you?
Help me.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Help me.
I already am.
What are you saying to me?
It's a lie.
What am I to believe?
You'll believe what you want.
And tell me this. Tell me this. Why is it always worse than we first believed? Can you tell me?
I will go if you've chosen to rat.
Can you look me in the eye, sir?
I can, yes. But can you treat me as a son?
Oh, God. What a curse is a son.
Then I'll go.
How long can I endure it? Endless torment.
But you will know I go with a curse.
Endless torment. For what sin am I paying?
You have been no kind of father to me.
Get out! Get out, sir!
O'Neill, half deaf, only hears the old man's voice. Then what? Percival leaves the house, chafing, furious, and waits. Some instinct. He sees Weathered enter, and a short while later...
No.
He sees Weathered emerge. He follows him.
Will I send for a cab for you, sir?
No, the weather is fine. Walk while we can. Is that not a lesson we can draw from a life that is ending?
It is.
So then, goodbye.
Follows him as he goes into Phoenix Park. Chooses his moment.
Percival, is there something?
No.
Is it your father? Is he worse?
Well, that would be a matter of indifference.
Then I don't understand.
No, it's you I've come to see. You've something I want.
Well, tell me, what is it?
You made out a new will, didn't you?
That's so.
I don't think we need sixth sense to know that it is not in my favour.
Percival, your relationship with your father is a source of sadness to me.
Oh, that's very reassuring, Mr. Weatherett. I'm touched. But unfortunately, it's not quite enough.
Percival, I don't understand.
You don't understand? No. How shall I put it? I demand a recount.
What?
I'm afraid I'm dissatisfied with the will as it stands. Here in my pocket is a new one. It's more to my preference.
You can't write wills.
Well, that is the lawyer's traditional perspective, I know. It's always seemed to me a closed shop you operate there. No, this one is more in my favour.
Is it a game you're playing?
Not a game. But for it to be valid, I shall need the old one, as I call it. The one you have in your pocket.
Percival, you know that is a legal document.
I know.
I cannot give it to you.
Oh, then I must take it.
No, I beg you not to. For your own sake, no!
What is it, Murray's father? Is he dead?
I couldn't find you.
How long?
A few hours. I couldn't find you.
Doesn't matter. I'll go up.
He may not know you.
Well, wouldn't that be a loss?
If only you could...
Don't lecture me, little brother.
You are to be told even now.
By you?
No. Then go up.
Oh, by the way, I wouldn't be making any outlandish purchases if I were you.
I don't know what you mean.
The crock of gold, the one you've been waiting for, may not arrive. May have got lost en route, or should I say, diverted.
Go up. Try and make your peace with him.
Oh, yes, little brother. I already have. Well then, father. The final argument. How silent you are. And how like a child. Or like an idiot. Mouth open and your spittle unwiped.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Those little eyes are still focused. So let me tell you. You know how much you wanted to leave me with nothing? Your plan, your triumph? It's not going to happen. Two wills, Father. Yours and mine. Like our lives together, eh? You see this one? That was the one you wanted. Look, Father. It's gone. And this one,
It's mine. All signed, giving me everything. And that whelp, that saintly boy, my brother, whom you have so long adored, will receive nothing. So I leave you with a son's kiss. And bid you toodaloo.
It's a reasonable case.
But...
it is based on one fact only. No one else would forge the will in Percival's favor except Percival. But you see, is that a fact or an assumption?
There must be something else, do you think?
Ah, now then.
Because, well, if you met Percival, if I could only...
Oh.
Oh, don't, please don't look at me like
no,
that.
Polly.
Don't, this is very important to me. Another road there must be.
What have I taught you?
It is the effort to think which paralyzes the brain.
And so what can one do?
Well, that's the point. One does precisely nothing.
Until?
Until the brain is still.
Freed from its mechanical outpourings, and then?
It becomes choicelessly aware.
And then something happens.
What?
Shh. Tell me.
Another road?
Yes.
Shall we?
Who is on the road? Slowly, slowly.
Weathered.
Follow him.
He enters the park.
Yes.
He's attacked.
By?
Somebody.
Who is that?
I don't know. Just a thief. A nobody. He knocks Weathered to the ground, reaches for his wallet. Weathered struggles, calls out. The man panics and kills him.
And the will in Weathered's pocket?
Well, who said it was there?
Hmm.
What? His murder could have been a coincidence. In which case, Percival should only have been accused of forgery.
No.
What?
O'Neill's evidence, the servant, the old retainer, deaf as a doorpost, as tradition demands, but sharp eyes. Yes?
Well, he seemed alert.
He was alert. He saw something when he bid farewell to the lawyer. You have to see it, Polly.
Now, Patrick, you must be strong.
I am able to be strong, Mr. Weathered.
That's it. Your master has lived long, and to be honest with you, of late I think he would prefer to have gone sooner. This new will he made out is a document to break your heart.
That's true, Mr. Weathered.
He tapped his chest. After referring to the will, Weathered tapped his chest, where his pocket is. That was O'Neill's evidence. The will was in the pocket.
No, he tapped his chest. He said it was a will to break the heart. He was tapping his heart. You see, not his pocket. There is no proof he had the will when he left the house. Are you angry with me?
No.
Well, what's the matter?
You wish, above all, to save Percival from execution.
Of course.
What if I told you there might be something worse than his death?
What do you mean?
For you.
How? How could that possibly...
Polly, the final road. The impossible one. The one you will not want to take.
I have promised him...
For this journey, I shall need fresh supplies.
What?
Hey, Gillian!
So where's the clever money going this afternoon, then, Murray?
Angel Bread, in the fifth.
Don't be joking me, will you?
You asked, Mulligan, and that is my view.
Angel Bread, she's as much chance as the pony that pulls me cart. My money's on Devil Romance.
Ah, well, you know best.
It's all right for you.
Meaning what?
If you lose your shirt, you have another shirt in the cupboard. That must be nice.
Nobody gambles to lose, Mulligan.
Angel Bread, you say?
That's what I'm saying. You please yourself. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Who is the person without motive?
To murder?
No, I mean first, the will. Let's go back. Brooks makes a will in his son Murray's favour. Percival will get virtually nothing. Following a violent argument... Brooks rewrites the will just before his death. This will is stolen. What happens to it? We don't know. However, a third will is found, which is evidently a forgery. It is only to be looked at by one of its supposed signatories, O'Neill, for that fact to be established. This forged will is in Percival's favour. He is arrested and found guilty. Are these the facts? Can you see the assumption behind them? that the third will, the forged one, was different in content from the second will, the one that Brooks wrote so soon before his death. You see?
No.
You don't? It has been assumed that you don't steal a will and then make an obvious forgery of it. Why would anybody do that?
Well, you think Percival wanted to be found out?
Oh, no, I didn't say that.
But you said, well, you implied...
I said that whoever forged the will made a bad job of it, yes, deliberately bad. Whoever forged the will wanted and knew that its forgery would be uncovered.
Why? Who?
Come on, Devil's Romance! Come on! Come on, you good thing! That's it! You're almost there! Come on! Come on! That's it! Yes!
Well, Murray, you had me worried there for a moment, you did.
But you're not worried now.
You're a strange man. You've just lost 50 pounds.
I'm aware of it.
You're aware of it? Oh, no. Tell me this. Just how many shirts do you have in that cupboard?
More than you can imagine.
Is that so? Well, if you need any tips, you know where to come.
Murray?
Yes.
How could that be? He had everything. His father adored him.
Yes, but what if something happened? What of his father, and remember, a hugely moralizing man who had banked everything on his son's fidelity, what if he had discovered some information about this golden child? I mean, would he forgive him? No. In fact, the fury he felt killed him. But before he died, he would write out a new will.
Who was that?
That, Molly, was Mr. Murray Brooks.
I thought it was. Well, well.
I believe you know his brother.
What's he doing at a race course?
He's gambling, like the rest of us.
I thought the sunshine came out of his arse.
No, Molly. His arse turns out to be quite normal. I hope I haven't disappointed you.
Disappointed in a man? Could that be possible?
Are you hungry, Molly?
Yeah.
Shall we dine?
Are you paying?
My pleasure.
What was Murray's aim? He already had the money.
Wait. The new will cut him out, took away everything and gave it to Percival.
What?
Enraged, seeking revenge, striking out blindly the dying and disappointed man, rejected the son he had depended on, and gave it all to the reprobate.
And the will?
Signed and witnessed, went into Weatherhead's pocket.
Is that not a lesson we can draw from a life that is ending?
It is.
So then, goodbye.
And the rest, as you said, Polly. Though it was not Percival who was waiting for him in the park.
Why, Murray? Is something wrong?
He took the will and destroyed it.
But other people knew it existed.
And that's why he had to come up with another will. And then he had a choice. It's very hard to forge a will. So he decided to make a virtue of this fact. He rewrote it exactly as his father had wanted, everything to Percival. But now, with the express intention of it being discovered as a forgery. Only one person could obviously benefit from such a forgery. Percival. And he was soon arrested on that charge, together with murder. The forged will was revoked, and the entire inheritance passed to Murray, as he had planned. If one were able, as it were, to admire sheer cleverness in a vacuum...
Which one isn't.
No, but...
And what now? What now?
Proof, evidence, those sort of irritating legal requirements.
Well...
We would have to prove there had been a fracture between Murray and his father. To show Murray had a motive, we need to demonstrate that his father received news of such a disturbing nature that he first of all had a violent argument with Murray. You see, we need to know, if not what the information was, then how Brooks heard of it. Who took it to Brooks? You see?
You know who, don't you?
I don't know who, Polly, but I know how to find out.
So, let's do it. We'll do it. What is the matter?
Father, this is a lie.
What are you saying to me? And tell me this. Tell me this. Why is it always worse than we first believed? Can you tell me?
You say you have evidence against me.
Can you look me in the eye, sir?
What proof have you got? You know I've always told you the truth.
Oh, what a curse is this on.
What proof?
How long can I endure it? Here! The stubs of your gambling tickets, which some kind person collected for me, and your signature against debts. There! On a page of a bookmaker's account. Endless torment. For what sin am I paying? Get out! Get out, sir!
Here, you will need to take this.
Where?
To Dublin Jail, to Percival.
Can't I know what it is?
Polly, take it.
Yes.
There now. I am here.
What?
When you get the reply, Polly, I am here. Polly, sit down. Please.
Percival has been released. You read that in the paper.
Yes. Please sit. Shall I order tea?
He said goodbye. He has returned to Molly. It was Molly who brought the evidence of Murray's gambling to Mr. Brooks, but then you knew that.
No, not knew. I wondered.
You wondered right. And did you wonder also why she had not come forward in Percival's defence before?
He ditched her. She was angry with him.
So your note...
I suggested he might do well to rekindle his affections for her.
Yes, he did. That's what he did.
He'd have been executed otherwise.
Quite.
You wouldn't ask a man to die for love, would you? And Aunt Brodie... Now, don't upset me, Polly. Aunt Brodie does exist, doesn't she?
Oh, yes, yes. Large woman, very active.
I thought you said...
What?
It doesn't matter. Have we ordered?
Not yet. You want me to call for Gillian? Or shall I go?
If you would, Polly...
I'll be right back.
In The Dublin Mystery by Michael Butt, based on a story by Baroness Orksey, Bernard Hepton was the man in the corner, and Suzanne Burden was Polly. Percival was played by Lorcan Cranitch, Brooks by Harry Taub, Weatherhead by Norman Rodway, Murray by Daniel Flynn, Molly by Geraldine Fitzgerald, Gillian by Becky Hindley, O'Neill by Noel Slattery, and Mulligan by Tom Farrelly. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Tea House Detective, directed by John Taylor, is a Fiction Factory production for BBC Radio 4.
That was The Dublin Mystery with The Tea House Detective, featuring the talents of Bernard Hepton, Geraldine Fitzgerald, Lorcan Cranitch, Harry Taub, Daniel Flynn, Norman Rodway, Noel Slattery, Tom Farrelly, Becky Hindley and Suzanne Burden. The producer was John Taylor. On Monday, The Tea House Detective finds betrayal and murder is afoot when a worried aunt questions her nephew. The Edinburgh Mystery, at the usual time in the Seven Drama.
This weekend on BBC One, Last Choir Standing reaches a crescendo. Shine until tomorrow, let it be. 60 of Britain's best choirs have been cut down to 6 by the judges.
They took the competition to a whole new level.
But from now on, it's down to you to sing their praises and decide who will be the Last Choir Standing. The live show starts Saturday night from 7 on BBC One.
And there you have it. Another shift and pretty much another week over for me. Thanks for listening. As always, I'm back on Monday with more from not only the Tea House Detective, but also the Blackburn Files. There's the four-part story, The Lost Stradivarius, and the first part of Love for Lydia, too. Coming away next is Joanna Pinnock, though, and I'm back again this evening for the Classic Comedy. That's at 7. I'm Michaela Saunders. You have a great Friday, and bye-bye for now.
On satellite channel 0131, this is BBC 7.
Thank you very much, Michaela. So, we know he built a wall right across Britain, but what else do we know about the Emperor Hadrian? Well, the writer Suetonius had a lot of inside information, and we've got another drama based on what he wrote coming up. That's followed by our usual Hour of the Classics for Friday. It's Les Dawson at 12, and to follow, a spot of déjà vu and a bit of a shindig in Edinburgh. It's Just a Minute. That's the next couple of hours on 7 with me, Joanna Pinnock. The Roman historian Gaius Suetonius Tranquillus spent some time working at the court of the Emperor Hadrian, in charge of the imperial correspondence, during which time he gathered some pretty interesting information about Hadrian's predecessors, as we've been hearing over the past few days. But for the story of Hadrian himself, presumably Suetonius didn't have to rely on older eyewitnesses and documents, because he was there on the spot, as you're about to hear.
Caesar, The Glass Ball Game, with Jonathan Coy as Gaius Suetonius and Jonathan Hyde as the Emperor Hadrian.
Oh, sorry. You all right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not really.
Go away.
You're the Bithynian boy, Hadrian's boy.
I'm me. I'm Antonus.
I didn't mean to upset you. I suppose it's not easy just being...
They all hate me for being the Emperor's favourite. It's not my fault. So lonely, there's no one to play with.
It's how things are, Antonus. By the way, I'm Gaius Suetonius.
I've seen you. You work for him.
I'm his secretary. I guard the office door. People don't like me either. Hey, we could be friends.
You are rather old.
Not that old. I can still kick a ball. That yours?
Yeah. It's for training. I throw it and catch it.
Well, that sounds really boring. Kicking's better. This is how we used to do it in Hippo. Hey, this. See if you can take it off me.
Easy.
Impossible.
You see? It's mine. Three.
Nero died at the age of 31 on the anniversary of his first wife Octavia's murder. In the widespread rejoicing, citizens ran around, ran through the streets, celebrating the death of a tyrant, a monster, and a pervert. Is that too much?
I don't know. Considering the general tone of the piece, no one's going to believe you like the man.
It isn't a matter of liking someone or not, Antonus. It's history.
History, my ass. I mean, am I talking to the author of the History of Great Wars?
True. But I did great men, too. Mm. And these will be the great Caesars, from Julius to Hadrian. And after, maybe. This is my serious book. I've tried to be objective about these gods, emperors. I've talked to the people who knew them. I knew some of them myself.
You're not that old.
I was born in the year Nero died. I grew up with these people. I'm an old man.
Oh, come on. Gaius Suetonius the aged.
Compared to you, my boy, I am.
Well, maybe. But right now, let's think about Nero, because he wasn't as bad as you painted him.
Wrong man in the wrong place at the wrong time. Society needs great leaders if it's going to be healthy. And that's what my book is trying to show.
So it has a purpose beyond telling us what happened?
To tell us what really happened to Rome, the historian must see beneath the surface.
So, the historian cannot stand back from public life. He must take a part.
Yes.
No. Yes. You are so...
Still taking the ball from you.
That was 4 years ago. I've got better. Here, have a fig.
He wants you back.
No.
He's the Emperor.
He threw me out, Antonus, on my ear.
Well, and it wasn't your fault. You read sections of the history of Great Whores to his wife.
Well, yes, it was possibly unwise.
But she enjoyed it. She laughed. Not really the point. Come on. Are you telling me that Hadrian is not a great Caesar? Exactly the kind of man you want to see at the helm of the Empire?
Mixed metaphor. Yes, he's a great emperor. And yes, I was proud to be his secretary.
We're going to Egypt. Nobody goes to Egypt. It's closed to Romans ever since Mark Antony and Cleopatra. This is the only